Green Acres Conference Committee will come to order. There's a quorum present. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's conference committee. I'm going to start off just saying the little history on how the creation of this legislation happened. In Agriculture Committee, we held multiple committee hearings, and we had multiple work sessions, and we worked with the members of the department, the farm groups, the farmers, and the assessors, and we took our time in preparing this legislation. We got a great piece of legislation here, and look forward to hearing your testimony today, where we would like to testify for or against any provision within this bill. And with that, I'm going to pass over to Senator Miller for his opening comments.
Thank you. I'd just like to expand on what Chair Lemire said here. I just want to thank Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, our county assessors, the Department of Revenue, our local farmers, landowners, and everyone else out there, fellow legislators who helped us put this together. This is what we feel is a great piece of legislation. As everyone knows, it's been a hot topic up here at the Capitol over the past few years, and we are hoping to fix the problem for another 40 or so years. So that's what our goal is with this legislation.
Thank you, Senator Miller. I'm asking for the board's advice on any suggestions on how we should go through this process. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there's a whole lot of controversy. I may be wrong. I think if we just proceed starting on R1 and just follow through with the differences on the side-by-side, take each individual area. For instance, first debate lines 1.7 through 1.12. We can discuss that. And then if there's anybody that would like to testify for or against that as well, get their feedback. We want to be as open and transparent as we possibly can. We've done that up to this point, and I don't want to disrupt that at all as well. And then vote on each individual area would be my recommendations, I guess, and look forward to what anybody else would have to say.
Anybody else have any other suggestions, comments? All right, all in favor of the motion to go through each individual section, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
Mr. Chairman. Carried.
Representative Davids.
I'll move on the page R1, 1.7 to 2.12 be adopted. Or maybe it should be 2.13.
Actually, we probably should go from 1.7 to 1.12.
Okay, I will move 1.7 to 1.12.
Discussion. Any discussion?
Or I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Do you want to go down? No, it'd be 1.12, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
I will move that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Davids, do we usually put purpose statements in the statute? Doesn't it just kind of fill the book up with words that we really don't need?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Skoy, West Publishing loves it. No, we have, in all seriousness, we do have a lot of legislation that does have purpose statements, not all of it, but it's not unprecedented by any means.
Senator Skoy, if I may add, this was actually something that we put in there because it was suggested by the Office of Legislative Auditor. They felt that the Green Acres bill should have a purpose statement.
Very good.
Any other comments? Then the motion would be to accept. Anybody to testify for or against this provision?
And Mr. Chair, I'll just say that that I would support the purpose statement.
All in favor to accept the language in the House bill from 1.7 to 1.12, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Next section would be from 1.13 to 2.12. In this provision, what it does is if you enroll in the Green Acres program prior to May 1st, 2012, there's a three-year clawback. If you enroll after May 1st, 2012, there'll be a five-year clawback. Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I move that we strike section 1.13 to 2.13 from the House language.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, we should probably move it first. So I'll move 1.13 to 2.12, then I think the Miller motion be in order.
All right. Representative David moves 1.13 to 2.12.
Any Mr. Chairman, I think it'd be 2.13 would be the proper motion.
2.13, correct, sorry. So the motion is to move 1.13 to 2.13. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we strike section 1.13, section 2, which would be lines 1.13 to lines 2.13.
Any further discussion? Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, I understand why individuals are wanting to go back to the 3 years. I do support the 5 years. I want to get that on record as well. We did take some great testimony. I believe it was Representative Hansen that gave an example how individuals are selling ground up here in the closer to the cities at high profits, if you will, and then coming back down to our neck of the woods and buying up farm ground. And that's where, through that testimony and some of those examples, that's where I did agree with the 5 years, and so I would speak against that motion.
Any further discussion? Senator Skoy.
Thank you. I'm going to support Senator Miller's effort. I think that having a consistency between the current Green Acres program and the Rural Preserve is a good it'll make it simpler for the folks that are trying to resolve what program they're going to be in. So I support his motion.
Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, it's nice to be able to say that I concur with my fellow senator on this one.
Any further discussion? Representative Eakin.
Yeah, and I would like to speak, against eliminating that provision. I too, feel that we did have testimony in committee that I think that in order to strengthen, the objective of trying to preserve these lands, I think the clawback does need to be more significant than it has been. And so for that reason, I would ask that we do not support the elimination of it.
Any testimony from the audience? Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to delete section 1.13 to 2.13 and accept the Senate's version, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion prevails. Next section would be section 3 from 2.14. to 2.30. What this section does, this is Representative Bell's amendment. What it does is if agricultural land has, let's say, 50 acres, when it has 5 acres of rural preserve property, that it mandates that if the rural preserve property is contiguous with the Green Acres program, that it is allowed to be enrolled in the rural preserve program. It eliminates the 10-acre mandate that's currently in the rural preserve program.
Where are we at?
We're at 2.14.
Right
there.
Okay.
Mr. Chair? Senator Skoy.
Could we hear from the department on this provision?
Sure.
No, I think we're fine.
Mr. Hagan, would you like to get up and talk on this issue? State your name and for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, my name is John Hagan. I'm the director of the Department of Education. And I apologize. I was speaking to Assistant Commissioner Mosman, so I didn't hear the question.
Well, we're discussing the... We're discussing the part of the House language which states if there's rural preserve rural preserve property that's less than 10 acres and is contiguous to the green acres that it's allowed to be in the program. I believe this is language that you helped write for the House bill.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe we helped, but I believe Representative Dowd was his proposal, and I believe we don't have a position on it, but
no.
It's a policy position if you want to do it. We don't have administrative problems with it.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hagan, do you have a feel for how many parcels this change from the 10-acre minimum will impact? Is this a relatively small number of parcels, or is it going to be a pretty major change?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, I think it will be a very small number of parcels.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion?
Is there a motion?
We need someone
Mr.
to
Chair.
Move it. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dowd.
I would move Section 3, which would be the House language, excuse me, which would be lines 2.14 to 2.30.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would support that motion.
Mr. Heinz, did you have something?
Mr. Chairman, I did want to just point out that the House language does include one other sort of piece that I think is worth making sure people are aware of, and that it requires that rural preserve be adjacent to property that's enrolled in the Green Acres program under the House language that's not currently part of under current law, and just to make sure that's on the record.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Heinz, just so I'm clear, so there would be no rural preserve parcels if they were not contiguous to a Green Acres parcel?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, that's correct. They would have to be, you could only have rural preserve if it was contiguous to Class 2A property enrolled under Green Acres. Under the language on 2.20, 2.21. And this was, to just provide a little background, this was, I believe it was more the department's recommendation that you get into a situation where, in especially in the northern parts of the state, where you might have a big tract of land with very little productive acreage, and by merely having 10 acres production, it gets it into ag homestead, but it's really not on much of an agricultural property, and requiring it to be in Green Acres puts this further requirement that it be primarily devoted to agriculture, and that was the thing that was I think the goal of this provision was to get that concept in there, that it really needed to be primarily an agricultural tract of land with this adjacent rural land, as opposed to something that was primarily just there to preserve the to get this program benefit in a land that wasn't agricultural. So, and again, the department may want to second or correct that, but that's the impetus from Representative Dowd's original amendment in committee that struck the 10-acre kind of for almost a different reason, and this was a response after looking it all over and considering the possibilities of it.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair, I, after listening to that explanation, I think this is a reasonable tightening of the program. Seems reasonable to me.
Any further discussion? All in favor to move Section 3 from 2.14 to 2.30, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried.
Did you, was that just the vote to move it, or did we vote to adopt
vote to
that?
No, we need to vote to adopt it. All in favor of the motion to adopt Section 3 from 2.14 to 2.30, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Next item before us is Section 4 in the House language and Section 2 in the Senate language.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, maybe this is a question to Senator Miller. The only difference here, is this where the Senate is asking for an aerial photo to be included? Is that the only difference in this language?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hamilton, yes, and I'd like to, if Senator Skoy is willing to kind of explain our view on that, I would appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Senator Miller.
Senator Skoy.
Well, one of the reasons we think that there should be some documentation of what this parcel was like at the time of enrollment is these landowners are getting preferential tax treatment for preserving their land as it is. And if you don't have some documentation or something, you would have no way to verify that there haven't been changes made. I think every NRCS office in the county office has an aerial photo. I don't think the farm groups have a problem with this. We did make one change on the floor of the Senate that would allow a county GIS photo to be used if they have that in place. But it just appears to me you have to have something in order to verify what was there. I think the department used the terminology, keep it green if it is green. And if you don't have something like this, I don't know how you would verify it, what was there.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
So I understand that. I do have a question. Maybe it's a technical question, and I'd ask Mr. Hines to comment on it. Starting on lines 2.8 of the Senate language, can you explain that a little bit, Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, I guess I'd more maybe yield to the Senate for an explanation of that sentence, which is not really related to the aerial photograph about the statement setting forth the consequences of the termination. And I just wonder what the impetus for that sentence was and if that was still appropriate, given it felt like it maybe worked more when we had the covenant than when we don't.
Ms. Soft, want to comment on this?
Mr. Chair, members, the idea there was just to provide some warning to people who would be interested in putting their property into this, that there would potentially be a recapture of taxes if they sold the property within, you know, a brief period of time, just to give them some additional kind of a warning that there would be consequences if they withdrew the land in a short order.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I will move on page R2, section 2, lines 1.20 to page R3, 2.32, this out of the Senate provision.
The motion before us is to move section 2 in the Senate language from 1.20 to 2.32. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I have just a real quick amendment here that I'd like to offer before we make the motion to accept Section 2 that we just moved, and if I can get someone to hand this out quick to all the members. Do we have a page in here?
Mr. Chairman, we've adopted it.
We just adopted it.
We moved it.
We moved it.
Oh.
And as we're getting this amendment pass out, I'll just briefly explain it. Basically, there's a May 1st enrollment deadline for folks to enroll in the Rural Preserve Program under current law. And after talking to county assessors, they have some concerns since if hopefully by the time this gets signed into law next week, there will only be two weeks left before May 1st. So what this amendment is doing is simply in the calendar year 2011, we're extending that date to August 1st, and then in all succeeding years, we'll move back to May 1st.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids?
I would incorporate the 012A-1 amendment into my motion as friendly.
Any discussion? All those in favor to insert amendment SCH-001281 as a friendly amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Next motion would be, is there anybody that would like to testify on this provision? Mr. Raddatz, state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's going so smoothly, I'm reluctant to get up here, but I do have a question more than anything. In this section, if you look at starting on lines 2.10 to 2.12, after Rural Preserve Program, it talks about a recommendation that the land is not likely to be changed to a non-qualifying use. And I guess I don't quite understand who has to make this recommendation. And if this, I'm certainly okay with the language from 2.8 to 2.10. I'm just wondering if that, starting on 2.10, together with the recommendation, the remainder of that sentence, if that is necessary. Just a question for you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Davids.
Could we have Mr. Hines describe or make comments on the Raddatz question?
Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chairman, I guess Ms. Baker and I were discussing that. It seemed a little vague to us, too, the recommendation that the land is likely to be changed to a non-qualifying use should not be included. I don't know. It seems, I guess, do you have anything more to say? It just sounded maybe a little loose, but.
Senator Scoy?
Thank you. Perhaps we can clarify what it's saying here, but I think the purpose of this is that if there is a part of the parcel of land that you're applying for rural preserve that you have some thought you might be removing from the program within the next 3 years, you just would not enroll it. I think that's the point of this language. Now, it might not be as clear as it could be, but it is just informational, and perhaps it could be written clearer, but it's not a. It's just so that, you know, if you've got 40 acres and you're pretty sure that some of it's going to be sold to your son or something for a homestead, that you wouldn't enroll it to begin with, because then you wouldn't have to go through the process of taking it out.
Any further discussion? So Representative Hamilton?
Mr. Chairman, the question I would have is if we would, on lines 2.10, after the word program, have a period and then strike the new language after that, could we still not accomplish what it is that we're trying to get accomplished through the application form process when it has the statement on consequences there as well? Just make it clear what the intention is, and that way it would clean it up a little bit. I'd just like comments, I guess, from Senator Scoy or others, if that's acceptable.
Senator Scoy?
Well, I have to read this again here. So, period after program.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Davids.
If I could ask Chair Hamilton a question. You, on 2.10, you put a period after program. And then how much more would you delete, the new language or through 2.13?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, I believe just the new language. So it would read, starting on 2.8, the application form must contain a statement setting forth the consequences to the property owner of termination of qualifications of property under the Rural Preserve Program, period, and then strike, together with the recommendation that the land that is likely to be changed to a non-qualifying use during the period of enrollment should not be included in the application. So,
and then, Mr. Chairman and Chair Hamilton, then 2.12, we'd leave the assessor may require proof until period on 2.13.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any discussion? Is that a motion, Representative Hamilton?
Yes, I'd make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor of the motion to remove the language after program, remove all the new language, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Any further discussion on Section 2? And the motion would be to accept the Senate language in Section 2 as amended. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Next item before us is Section 5 in the House language, Section 3 in the Senate language. The difference between the two is in the House language, it's land enrolled prior to May 1st, 2012, will have a 3-year clawback, and after May 1st, 2012, there'll be a 5-year clawback. Any discussion? Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the Senate language, starting on line 2.33, Section 3, going to line 3.12, since we already took out the 3-year and or the 5-year on Section 2. I think it would make sense to do it in Section 5 as well.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the same argument that I had earlier would apply to this section as well, so I'd speak against it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I would like to speak in favor of the Miller motion.
Any further discussion? The motion is to accept the Senate language in Section 3 in the Senate language. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion carried. Next item before us is House language under Section 6 from 4.10 to 4.28. Mr. Hines, if you could discuss this part of the legislation, that'd be nice.
Mr. Chairman, House Section 6 creates a chance for people who people who withdrew property from the Green Acres program since, I believe it's 2008, when we made the first set of changes in Green Acres, that now would like to bring property back into Green Acres and or rural preserves to allow that property to come back into the program and guarantee that land can come back into the program as long as it was properly enrolled prior to that May 21st of 08 date, and if any back taxes had been paid, that would be returned to the taxpayer. And this, I think, we just thought there might be some people out there who, because of the way the program, the Rural Preserve Program, was initially conceived, might have thought that they would be better off to get out of the program, that now might want to come in, and was added for that reason.
Thank you. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that section 4.10 through 4.28 and of the House language. It would be recommended to pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I'd like to support the House position.
Senator Miller.
I just have a quick question. Can you clarify on line 4.23 to 4.26 where we're saying that the county would repay those property owners? That's not for the folks that withdrew from the program. That wouldn't be the difference between the market value and the Green Acres or the Rural Preserve Program. That would be simply if they withdrew from the program and had to pay that 3-year clawback, they would get reimbursed for that. Is that correct?
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, that was the intention as it was drafted, that would be the clawback that would get repaid. And there really shouldn't be much of this, because mostly people who withdrew from the program did so because they got the clawback was suspended for those people. So we didn't think there would be much of that, but that's not based on, you know, a testimony. I don't know for sure if any county people or the department has any knowledge about that, but I think there's been no testimony against this provision so far.
Would anybody like to testify on this section? State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Gloria Pinky, and I'm a manager in Dakota County Assessor's Office here today on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers. And we would agree that we don't think there would be very many that would apply. The people who withdrew from Green Acres before the magic date did so to get out of jail free and not have to pay that three-year payback if they had waited. So there will be none in Dakota County, and I can't imagine that there would be very many in other parts, but I can only testify to what I know about, but I don't think there'll be very many.
Oh. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to the witness. So if somebody should qualify for a refund of taxes that they would have been paid that shouldn't have paid in 2009 and 10 and maybe 11, I guess, where would the money, are you just going to take that out of the county general fund to make those payments, and how are you going to rationalize that within the property tax shifting that occurs with the Rural Preserve Program?
Ms. Pinky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Scoy and members. When the money would have been paid back, however much that was sort of a windfall to any of the counties at that point in time, so they weren't expecting to get that payback at the time. So if they have to refund it, I would, and again, I'm not an auditor, treasurer, or a financial county accountant, but I would think it would come out of the same pool that the money went into when they got it. Maybe
Senator Scoy?
Except those years have gone by.
Mr. Chair, members, that's correct. I don't think it would be a great deal, but again, I can't say for sure.
Senator Gazelka.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, in the House, was this particular paragraph fully vetted in your committees, and so they had an opportunity to be aware of it?
Yeah, we had multiple testimony on this, and we actually changed the language a few times to accommodate that. It was so it only went towards the clawback and not the difference between what they would have been paying and what they're now paying. It was vetted.
So,
and this is a provision to protect the farmers, and I am very much in support of this language in the House bill.
And Mr. Chair, in this final language, did we have much pushback from any group then in the final language?
No, Senator Gazelka, we didn't have much pushback. Okay. Not the way it's written, though. At first we did, but we clarified it so it was more clear that it pertained to the clawback.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yeah, when we were discussing or debating this, it came up that it was more of a what-if scenario. Here we changed the law, you forced us out of this or forced us to pay these additional dollars, these additional taxes, now you're reversing all this, and it was the whole what are you thinking scenario. And so it was fully vetted. We didn't have anybody come in and testify, to my knowledge, and said that they had paid into this. You heard the testimony from Ms. Pinky and others. We're not talking about huge dollars that we've been able to uncover, if you will. So it's more of the language was the scenario about building trust within the system as well. You change the law, a few years later you come back, you change it back. Now what scenario? So that was the debate.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Senator Scoy.
Thank you. Well, I think it's probably a relatively small provision, but you know what we're dealing with here is the people that were in Green Acres in a county prior to the law changes. there were 30-some counties that didn't have any green acres at all prior to that, and there are bound to be parcels within the counties that did have green acres that could have signed up during this two-year time period that you're now paying back. I think you're adding a lot of confusion to the legislation for very little gain. And I it very likely won't have much impact, but there is potential for confusion with this. And I don't know if we want, that's part of the problem we've had with the changes we've made is there has been some confusion, and I think we should try to eliminate that as much as we can.
Any further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Mossman, Assistant Commissioner for Revenue. Just one observation, if you do, and not sure exactly what all went into the September 1st date for this application, but now that you've changed the other date to August 1st, just in terms of how that's going to play out locally in terms of educating if you do adopt this provision, and again, not knowing exactly why the September 1st date was chosen, but just a question as to whether or not you want to line up the application dates on October as October 1st for all the application materials.
The August 1st date is just going to be a 1 year, and then it goes back to May 1st after that. So they won't be the same regardless.
This is a 1 year, too.
Pardon me?
This is 1 year.
This is just 1 year,
too. I can't remember why the September 1st date. Mr. Hines?
Mr. Chair, I think we just picked a date that was far enough after the session ended to give people time to get the information out. I don't think there was anything particularly magic. It's my recollection about that September 1 date. So it could be coordinated at August 1st, I think. That might make sense.
Any discussion on this?
What's the motion before us?
Motion before us is to accept the House language.
So would it be proper this time to make an oral amendment? It would be, wouldn't it? That'd be in order?
Yes.
I would move then on lines 4.20, change that to from September to August.
There's two places. 1.5.
And 4.15.
And also 4.15, change September to August.
All those in favor to accept the oral amendment to Section 6 in the House language, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I have a question on this language for Mr. Mossman, if he could join us here, please.
Mr. Mossman.
Assistant Commissioner Mossman, is the department fine with the House language here?
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, thank you for the question. We have discussed this. We really don't have, administratively we can do it. We really don't have a position. I think this is a policy decision of the legislature.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mossman.
The motion before us would be to accept Section 6 from 4.10 to 4.28 in the House language as amendment. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Motion carried. Next item before us is Section 7 from 4.29 to 4.31 in the House language. Covenants terminated. Mr. Hines, would you like to talk on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This provision was simply put in because it was possible that some people who, to get into the new rural preserve program under current law, may have already entered into a covenant agreement, and we just wanted to put something in there that would say if any covenants had been entered into, that they would be terminated. They would no longer be legally binding.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Eakin.
I was just going to move the House language to adopt Section 7, lines 4.29 to 4.31, 3-2.
Any discussion? Motion is to accept the House language from 4.29 to 4.32, Section 7. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Next item is Section 8 in the House language from 5.1 to 5.10. This is a study that is required. The study is currently required in the Green Acres program at this time, and this just advises the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers and the Department of Applied Economics at the University of Minnesota and the major farm groups to reevaluate the system to help determine the taxable value on tillable and non-tillable land, and then come back to the legislature by February 15, 2012, and make a report to see if it's fair and fair across the state of Minnesota. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't care if I move it or not, but I think this is a real good idea. This has always been kind of the white elephant in the room of Green Acres. You know, we knew this was here when we started redoing the program to begin with, but and we had lots of discussion about differing methodologies to do this and whether we should figure out income and rent and all this stuff. I think if we can get some help, or if the department can come up with some alternative or better mechanism for determining this, it'll make the program a lot better, because this is the heart of the program right here, is determining that value differential. And I think everybody has kind of understood that we would use these six counties down in the southwest because it was the only place that the department thought they could get a true ag value and then, you know, move that across the rest of the state. But I think everybody who's worked on this understands there is potential problems with it. And if somebody can make some suggestions that would make this part of it better, it would really improve the program. So I'm real supportive of this study, and I wish them well with their work here.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Scoy explained it very, very well, and that was the intent when we were debating this in our committee as well. So I'd move Section 8 of the House language, 5.1 through 5.10. Recommended pass.
Any discussion? All in favor to accept the House language from 5.1 to 5.10, Section 8, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Section 9, same language. So what do we do there? Just
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Senate language.
All right.
We win one.
All those in favor of accepting the Senate language from 3.13 to 3.15, Section 4, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank your work and Senator Miller on our side. My bill was to repeal the whole thing. You know, so I appreciate the fact that there was a lot of work into really making something a lot better. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I forgot to thank one group of people in my opening. Thank you, and that's our staff. Thank you to our legal staff, our fiscal staff, our CAs, our administrators, everyone, our LAs who helped us get us through this. So thank you to our Senate and House staff.
Any other discussion? Representative Hamilton.
And I'd echo that as well. You said in your opening comments, Mr. Chairman, about the open process. I want to thank everybody who was a part of that, from the departments to the assessors to the ag groups, anybody who had a vested interest as well. So you advised me early on to slow this thing down and make sure that we took plenty of testimony, and I thank you for that as well. I believe it was a very open and transparent process, and you got a good bill here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I would also like to say thank you to Chair Hamilton from the Agriculture Committee and Representative Eakin and his caucus from the Agriculture Committee, who it was nice working together, and I think we got a good deal here that will last more than a couple of years, hopefully. Yeah. And I'd like to thank Mr. Hines for all his work in the departments, assessing officers. So the motion before us would be to accept the language, to accept House File 12 as amended. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Done.
Meeting adjourned.